Hey everyone, welcome to our very first episode of SNP Now. Here are your hosts, Chance Watson, that's me, and Josh McDonald.
Hey, and this week's episode is brought to you by Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty. If you're interested in buying a home in our beautiful Silver Valley, or if you'd like to sell your home, please contact Julie at 208-659-1764. Once again, 208-659-1764. She's your best friend in real estate.
You know, I've heard that she's your best friend in real estate.
She's like my best friend in real life, too, I think, so.
I don't think anybody doesn't like Julie.
Everybody loves Julie.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Josh, we got a brand new paper out today, eh?
Brand new paper, brand new podcast.
I know, right? That's all sorts of new things. I mean, the paper's been around for a while, but podcast is brand new. We're excited to let you guys hear what we've got to say and kind of give you guys a little look at what's going on here in the Valley and the region around, and maybe even hear some interesting interviews that we're going to have planned in the future.
I think we do have an interesting interview
planned. We do have one. We'll tease that here in a little bit, but let's get to our Wednesday, July 3rd stories that we've got. First one we've got up is our story on wildfire prevention. I went and spoke this week with Fire Warden Shell Truesdale, and while they were doing some training exercises out at the Smelterville Airport, they had the helicopter. Usually it's a bad thing when that helicopter's flying around. You think that something's on fire.
Yeah.
But no, they were actually training some of the new guys out there to call in water drops. They were picking up, they were using that little pond there to pick up some water and walk them in. So definitely some good training for if and when fire season finally hits.
And you know, one of the things that we always talk about during fire season, because usually June is pretty mellow, it's the first month of summer, things are just starting to warm up, and then July 4th hits. Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said about fires around July 4th and what starts them. And it's you know, good old Americana, and you're not a Independence Day celebrating patriot unless you're lighting off fireworks.
Exactly. You have to do that, I think.
Something like that.
Right. I mean, it's not against the law, because it actually is against the law to light off fireworks in certain areas, but
people seem to ignore those rules from time to time.
It appears so sometimes.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we had a wet June.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that the risk of fire danger stays low, but I also hope that people aren't out there being silly with their fireworks.
Right.
And their campfires.
Right. Well, so the fire danger in our area got moved to moderate as of last Friday. So, you know, not too high, but something, it's starting to get that time of year where you need to start making sure that, you know, something as simple as dragging chains on your vehicle and whatnot, they can catch up brush and whatnot. So Shell talks about that in the story, and we kind of talk about the upcoming fire season and that. So if you want to check out that story, it's online and in our paper today.
And speaking of the 4th of July, make this 4th of July the best one yet with delicious steaks, baby back ribs, corn on the cob, and sweet cherries from Stein's Market, located at 712 East Mullen Avenue in Osborne. Stein's Market, our family serving yours.
I kind of want people to rate our transitions, like our segues.
Oh yeah.
On those ads. Like, I mean, they're not all going to be winners for sure, but we'll do our very best. I kind of want people to be like, oh, that was an A.
I'm just hoping that people hear my voice and it makes them want to buy a steak.
Exactly.
When they think of Josh, I want them to think of cow meat.
I say, we'll approach that. Maybe some of our maybe some of our ads would be better suited for some of our voices. Like, we'll run through them all today and see how that goes. But Josh, what else do we have in our Wednesday, July 3rd?
You know, I had a chance to sit down with Jonathan Birnbaum. He is the executive director of International Service Learning. This is a company that's new to Kellogg, but not really new globally. What this is they're a business who They coordinate with a lot of universities and other kind of institutions. And what they do is you say, hey, I want to go volunteer my time doing physical therapy work or immunizations or nursing or anything in a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
So they go into their database and they find these third world countries and these programs that they have set up in these countries. And they basically, they set up the plan for how you're going to pay to get there. They plan the whole trip. So you're from, as soon as you step onto an airplane, you are under an itinerary that they have set for you.
Oh, wow.
You land, they pick you up, they get you to one of their offices. They're in several different countries. Right now, let's see here. I can tell you a list of the countries. Belize, Costa Rica, Colombia, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Haiti, India, Mexico, Panama, Peru, and Tanzania.
That's a lot of places.
And it's really, really cool. Birnbaum is a really cool guy. His dad actually started the company back in 1994 when they were living in Costa Rica doing he was a Lutheran minister. And they were doing a language class. Basically, mm-hmm. he was learning Spanish. Mm-hmm. And after they spent a year down there, they kind of figured out this concept called humanitarian entrepreneurship, where people could pay money to come down and essentially get real life experience. Not only is it good for, for people, volunteerism is kind of one of those things. It's good for the soul. But it's also great for a resume. It's good for medical professionals to get those hours they need working in the field.
Sure.
They recently, about 7 months ago, relocated to Uptown Kellogg.
Where were they before?
Well, they started out spread out all over the country with no real home. They worked mobily with Birnbaum being in, he was an Air Force pilot, so he was kind of all over the place. Their United States director, Diana Fields Brown, is a Kellogg native. Oh. So she was working from Kellogg. They had people working in Kansas, in Texas. So basically they were only able to communicate via phone and email. And Mr. Birnbaum decided he wanted a place for them to all be able to come and work together. They tried Spokane, downtown Spokane, mm-hmm. which the downtown Spokane area is super cool. And say what you want about the rest of Spokane, but downtown Spokane is very cutting edge.
They put some work into it.
Yeah, and some awesome businesses and buildings. But these guys are more of a grassroots company. Hmm. They really like to get involved in their local community, and Spokane wasn't really doing it for them. So they tried the South Hill for a little while, and finally kind of noticed Kellogg. Reverend Birnbaum, Jonathan's father, had actually been the pastor at American Lutheran in Kellogg. Mm-hmm. So he came over and they found an office space, and this space suits them perfectly. Anyone who gets a chance to go in there and look, it's just beautiful in there. Huh. Some yuppie style furniture, but like...
More modern?
Mm-hmm. Like very, very modern, almost like a country Google.
Gotcha.
If I had to describe the office, country Google. And they're just like the friendliest people you could ever encounter. Jonathan and Diana were super great to sit down and talk to.
Cool.
That office is located at 125 McKinley Avenue. And I think anyone who wants to volunteer should go in there and just see what they have to offer. Because you can go over as an individual. You can go over there as part of an organization. They'll work with you and help you figure it out.
Sure. Very cool. Well, I think if anybody wants to check out or reference any of that information, they can check out your story in the paper or online. You also had another story here updating us here in the valley on the pool situation going on, huh?
So in Wallace, uh-huh. we've kind of been highlighting this for a while, keeping an eye on things. Mm-hmm. For the last few years, they've been mysteriously losing water out of the pool.
Yeah.
With no evidence as to where the water's going. I mean, I can't remember specifically, but I think you wrote a story a year ago.
Yep.
And I mean, thousands of gallons of water just missing overnight.
Yeah.
And in the dog days of summer when it gets really dry, mm-hmm. You can't just lose that much water and not have evidence.
Well, you're fighting it on both ends, too, because yeah. you got evaporation. So.
A little bit of evaporation, but it's not evaporating that much.
No.
So they did. They hired an engineer firm. They've been tossing around some ideas to, one, possibly enclose the pool mm-hmm. To kind of protect it from weather, which they think could have something to do with this. But they also had an engineering firm come in, and they did some core sampling inside or beneath the pool. And
they found gold.
Something. If they did find something, though, being that it's in Wallace, it's definitely historic.
Sure.
They did those core samples, and the results are not in yet, but it wouldn't surprise me to find out maybe they've got some rock that or some something that's not necessarily watertight underneath there. But in the meantime, the Friends of the Wall City Pool kind of put together a plan to make sure that the kids had a place to swim this summer.
Sure.
What they've done is every Tuesday and Thursday from 12 to 3, and if you want to show up at 11:45 to get picked up, they're busing kids up to the Mullen Pool at the Mullen Pavilion.
Okay.
So kids are able to go up there and swim. They just have to have a permission slip signed, ready to go when the bus picks them up at Wallace High School, and they can go up there and swim for a little bit. So, you know, it's really cool that they've made sure to find a place for the kids to cool off. You know, it wasn't discussed in that story necessarily, but there's also the option for them to come down the road to Kellogg. The pool in Kellogg is free this year as part of their road construction project. So, you know, there's options for kids to swim all over the valley. And hopefully Wallace can get their pool situation fixed, because that pool is incredibly unique. And I've seen some historical photos of it. It's just really cool that it's been around for as long as it's been, and it's been in that location the whole time. And it's a very neat facility. It just needs a little bit of upkeep, and you know, hopefully they can get in and make the changes to make it a little bit more sustainable.
The Valley's always has a unique history with outdoor pools. I remember seeing, when I first got here into the Valley, I remember seeing some photos of the pool up in Burke.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, those were really cool photos. Yeah. So.
Odd.
Yes, absolutely.
Odd,
but
that Burke at one point was big enough to sustain its own swimming pool,
right? And everything else that it had right at one time, definitely. Onto the swimming pool stuff. If you guys want more updates, please check out the Mullen Swimming Pool Facebook page and the Kellogg Swimming Pool. As of this recording right now, the Mullen Swimming Pool is handling some chemical issues in their pool. They're putting updates on their Facebook page. So
sure.
Just make sure you pop on there before you head up
they're not busting anybody up on the holiday either.
No. So and then also with 4th of July, the Kellogg Pool will be open too. We'll get to that here in a little while with our interview guest. But let's see. Talk about the Wallace Pool. 4th of July. We've got what else do we got going on, Josh?
You know, I think there was an event last weekend with some local bike riders and local bike riders and local watering holes.
That's right. I was there. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Now it's all coming back to me. we've got, last Saturday was Kegs and Kickstands, a Silver Valley Chamber event. Kind of designed to really bring some people into new businesses, not new businesses, but allow people who maybe didn't know that businesses existed in Kellogg before, walk in, get some foot traffic, all while, you know, getting some sun, riding a bike around town. This year had 12 different businesses that were on. Everybody started out at Silver Mountain and kind of just biked around, like almost like a little scavenger hunt, got some signatures. And just had some fun with it. It's a little unique event that doesn't really make the chamber any money, but really benefits the businesses and the members of the chamber that are participating in the event. Lots of people, you and I, we're in the community all the time. We know these businesses exist. But to somebody who's just brand new to the area, or just doesn't, you know, walk up and down and talk to people like we have to do for our job, you learn a lot about new businesses, and you get to see that, oh, I didn't even know these people were here.
Right.
Or maybe you did, but you never had a reason to walk in and see what it was all about.
Sure.
So, in fact, I think we had two businesses in particular that were on the route, right, Josh?
Yeah, we did actually. Right downtown. I think we have some ads for them.
Ooh. Okay.
So, and I apologize, the lead into this ad was not natural, but Coffees, Bagels, and Ice Cream, oh my. Yes, you can have all this deliciousness at The Bean, located at 448 Railroad Avenue in Kellogg, conveniently located right across the street from the city park and next to the Trail of the Coeur d'Alenes. The Bean also offers Wi-Fi, so you can enjoy great coffee and get your work done. And once you've had a cup of coffee, maybe you're a little bit hungry, so you go right next door and try out the Hill Street Depot. They offer superb bistro-style entrees like Baja tacos, burritos, sandwiches, salads, and soup. Enjoy the spacious outdoor patio and deck and wet your whistle with a cold beer. They have 6 taps, a full bar, and a friendly staff. Visit the Hill Street Depot at 446 Railroad Avenue in Kellogg.
So the intro to that ad, like C plus, C minus, but the transition between the two, that was pro stuff right there.
Top notch.
That was really good.
Yeah.
That was really good. But and you actually even segued it perfectly for me, because on the route, when I was participating in this little event, we did go from the Bean to the Hill Street Depot.
See? You can even go to the Bean. The Bean's my favorite spot in the world. But and I'm shameless. I'll shout out the Bean any day of the week. But if you're there on a day and you need a little extra in your coffee, they've got a cabinet with a little extra.
Oh, do they now?
And you can have, you know, maybe you need your coffee with a little bit of schnapps in it.
A little kick.
A little pep in your
step. A little habanero pepper.
Yeah. Maybe okay. You just need to get going a little bit.
Gotcha.
I think you could get a little Kahlua, maybe some rum.
Sure.
Who knows? But the Bean is pretty sweet.
But they were just, so those two businesses, they were just two of the 12 that were on the route. It was just such a fun time. And I think it's an annual event now. I think this was the third or fourth year in a row now that they've done it. Third year. And in the future, with participation being so well, they're hoping to bring it to other cities.
Yeah.
You know, if Pinehurst or Wallace, they get more chamber members with the Silver Valley Chamber. They're hoping to host them there, and we can do the same thing.
It seems like it would be a pretty natural fit for Wallace.
Absolutely.
I mean, Pinehurst doesn't have nearly the watering hole capacity.
I'm sure
they could figure something out, but sure. Wallace.
But hey, they got creative. I mean, Julie Zook was she was at the Realty Building and handing out drinks.
There you go.
So I mean, you get creative. People figured it out. Let's see here. What else do we got going on? Boy, you're just all over the place with your bylines this week.
Yeah, I had some interesting.
Yeah. So speaking of this next story, it's kind of kicked up a little bit of a disagreement on social media.
And it seems
discussion.
You know, social media seems like
it's always calm discussions on social media, right, Josh?
Always calm discussions on social media.
Yes.
Earlier this year, I think it was last month, we actually wrote a story about the county commissioners here in Shoshone County moving the garbage can dumpster setup they had up the river from the Bumblebee Bridge area down to the check station between the Snake Pit and the Conoco there on the Old River Road. Well, we had discussed how they wanted to try and eliminate people throwing away things like household trash, appliances, and the people up the river seemingly being accused of abusing the dumpster instead of taking their trash to the transfer station.
Right.
They're taking it down to the check station there and dumping it without having to pay.
Gotcha.
So, you know, after a month of that dumpster being at the check station, I had a chance to check in with the commissioners. I said, hey, and this was specifically, I was talking to Jay Huber.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, Jay, how's the dumpsters working? And he said, not very well. So from there, we kind of got a little interested in what was going on, asked them what was up, and it's a lot of the same thing.
You know, Jay isn't our most quoted commissioner, but when he does, it's pure gold.
And you can hear the frustration in his voice.
Yes.
The commissioners have been trying to navigate this situation up the river for years.
Yeah, now. Not just the dumpsters.
Yeah, it's the pack it in, pack it out concept.
Yep.
It's overcrowding, it's basically, the fear is that the locals have essentially lost the river to the out-of-towners.
That's their fear.
And then on the flip side, the locals are abusing this thing that the commissioners have set up for those people up there by putting their household garbage and used and old and no good appliances in the dumpster. So now the people who are coming into vacation there are leaving their trash because there's not room in the dumpster. So it's this vicious cycle of he said, she said, finger pointing. If it wasn't for this, it'd be that. And we now are hearing that it looks like MCE Garbage and Recycling, the company who handles the dumpster, they're thinking about moving the dumpster up to Albert's Landing, where there could be a caretaker
who
will monitor the dumping so that there's a good chance they see less appliances, furniture, TVs, things of that nature, and more just trash from campers and people who are using the river, not living up the river.
Sure. Well, and with the dumpster being near Albert's Landing, people get to see that big empty space that used to be the bar.
That's right.
That's an older story. You guys can check that out if you want.
And that is prime RV rental space too. Mm-hmm. So you can talk to the new owners up there and mention if you have an RV.
Yep.
But you know, we found out that the county last year driving up to Bumblebee and having that dumpster dump, they spent almost $30,000 over 3 months just in truck fees and dumping the garbage. So moving it down to that check station probably took 2 to 3 miles off that trip per day, which does make a difference financially in the long run.
If I remember correctly, I was talking to one of our sheriff's deputies here. I can't remember which one it was. It was a little while ago, but I think they told us that with just the influx of people on the North Fork during the summer, the population of Shoshone County doubles.
Wow. It wouldn't surprise me at
all. So, I mean, so that just kind of gives you an idea of how much, I mean, you know, each person and how much trash they, average person, you know, it just, it builds up.
Yeah. And that much trash, especially you start looking at what they're doing up there and,
yep.
and they're going up there, they're taking food, they're shopping and buying new camping gear, new everything. So everything that goes up there generally has some sort of garbage accompanied to it. They're going up there with the beer and there's boxes, there's cans, there's bottles. It's just a lot of trash and we've got to figure out some way to kind of, I don't know, make it level the playing field,
maybe.
You know, give the locals an option to dump their trash. I saw one suggestion on there that I thought was kind of brilliant for them to set up, like, if the county could set up a temporary transfer station. Where the locals during the summer could bring their trash down to another dumpster where it would be monitored. They would still pay their normal fees, but they wouldn't have to drive all the way to the transfer station in Big Creek. And then also have the local, or not the local, but the camper dumpsters there to make sure that we don't end up with a bunch of garbage. You and I have covered these random garbage cleanups for years.
We have a lot of stories that we, like phases of the moon, we can just write that we know are going to pop up time and time again. And every time around this year, there's always a littering story, whether it be people dumping into the woods or, I mean, people going snorkeling on the river and just bringing out massive garbage bags of you know, garbage.
Garbage. And it is very frustrating from our standpoint to sit back and know that, you know, we write these stories every 12 months. I directly remember the one when you first got here, when we went to Albert's Landing, where the Boy Scouts cleaned up all the garbage, where a bunch of people,
it just keeps happening,
they were upset that the dumpster had been removed, so they just piled a mountain of garbage where the dumpster used to be. So I don't know if they thought someone was going to come clean it up for them or what, but this is definitely a problem.
Well, Josh, let's move on to a happier subject here, okay? You, while I was at Kegs and Kickstands, you were over the hill at Hoop Fest.
Hoop Fest, the 30th edition of Hoop Fest in Spokane.
Now, we had some local winners, didn't we?
We did. I don't know, this isn't necessarily the final count, but we had at least 3 champions come out of Hoop Fest, including the team from Caporelli Espresso. And that team was made up of Blake Rose, Lennox Radford, Henry Larson, and Cooper Miller. So those little guys, and I believe that was actually their second year in a row as Hoop Fest champions.
Good for them.
Then
repping the Valley.
Team called the Silver Valley Swatters. And that team was made up of Grace Nearing, Emma Van Hoos, Haley Cheney, and Darian Hill. Those names are probably all pretty familiar because those are 3 Kellogg basketball standouts.
Okay.
And they're all freshmen, or they were all freshmen, so they're all heading into their sophomore year.
Gotcha.
And they were just absolute studs for the basketball program.
I was going to say, that's good news for Kellogg basketball.
And then Looney Tunes Squad, and that team was made up of local players Graydon Nearing and Gavin Luna, as well as former local player Jacob James and their friend Dominic Dots. So they went over there and they won their high school boys division. So three winners. We had a few more teams participate.
Pretty good for our small little area.
Yeah, it's a fun event. Anyone who loves basketball, they call it the greatest basketball weekend on the planet. and they're absolutely right. I mean, it's sponsored by Nike. Everyone who leaves, who plays, leaves with a Nike t-shirt. It's
awesome.
And it's just a good event, and it keeps getting bigger. I think I saw that it was 27,000 teams.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that equates to like
right
100,000 players.
Right.
That's just crazy.
So our little Silver Hoops event never going to get that big?
Oh, I don't think spatially.
Don't think we could fit that many people.
But every year of the last 3-4 years, that year's got, or Silver Hoops has gotten bigger.
Yep.
And we are, as far as the tournament, the 3-on-3 tournament cycle goes, it goes Hoop Fest, Silver Hoops, Coeur d'Alene Shootout,
yep.
and Silver Hoops is one of the big three regionally for 3-on-3 tournaments. So mm-hmm. it's ever growing, and I expect this year is going to be another good year.
Gotcha. Well, I think before Silver Hoops comes up, we've got some events going on here in Kellogg for the 4th of July. Unfortunately, nothing going on in Osborne this year, but we've got some events going on here in the Silver Valley, and to help us talk to it is going to be our very first interview guest. So let's cut away to our interview.
All right. Hey, we're going to be talking 4th of July this week. With us today is... we got the Silver Valley Chamber Coordinator Mallory Phillips, along with Nathan Dugan, who is also a member of the Community Market Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to kind of run us through the activities this 4th of July.
Gotcha. Hey, Josh, you've been down to the Community Market once or twice, right?
Just a little bit.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
Unless it's raining.
Ooh, that's always the bane of the Community Market is rain, bad weather down there.
Yeah, we've been a little unlucky this year so far, but things are shaping up. For the 4th, it looks like the weather's going to be nice and dry.
Awesome. Sounds like we're going to have a lot of fun stuff going on down there, huh, Mallory?
Was it always?
Yep.
So what are we looking at? What are we starting with? Let's paint me a picture. What's the day going to look like?
All right. So starting at noon, the Kellogg Senior Center is going to be setting up in the pavilion near the pool, where they're going to have Pig in the Park, and that'll be from 12 to 4.
Cool.
So go down there, support them, get some food. I think they're going to have some auction items as well.
Cool.
And then at 1:30 p.m. at Silver Mountain, there's going to be a kid and pet parade. So bring your kids. Bring your pets. You're going to dress them up or put costumes on them and prance down to the park. And you'll get to the park probably around 2.
Because animals love that.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Oh, is it going to follow the same route as last year where it comes down through the park, like all the way to like the basketball courts area or?
That I am not sure.
Okay.
That is being put on by Silver Mountain. So.
Okay.
Gotcha. I know it's going to start at Silver, right?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Gotcha.
That's my understanding.
Perfect.
And then from 2 to 8 p.m., we've got the Community Market. So we've got the same vendors that we have during the market on Thursdays, plus vendors that normally wouldn't be able to vend.
I'll say, what's anything new that stands out in this one in particular?
So we have Eat This Ice, which is Italian ice. They were there last year at the market, but they haven't been able to make it this year. So that'll be nice on a hot day, hopefully.
Cool.
So on top of the vendors, we've got a beer garden, and Radio Brewing will be pouring as well as Dirty Dog Saloon, mm-hmm. who is sponsoring the music from 2 to 5. And John Kelly will be playing from 2 to 5.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Tell us about John Kelly.
So John Kelly is a local artist. He plays blues, and if you came to the market last year, he played a couple times, and he also plays at the Wallace Blues Fest.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. And Wallace Blues Fest next weekend, so for those people who...
Right, you get a sneak peek of what's going to be there.
Like a 6-hour sneak peek.
There you go.
Three-hour.
3 hours.
Because we're having two different bands.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Who's the other one?
Nathan?
So the other band is coming over from Missoula. They're called Ticket Sauce, Leaf Christian and Ticket Sauce. Leaf Christian is kind of the front man of that band. They're just coming over to kind of rock us into the night and the fireworks.
Cool.
So you definitely won't want to miss that. That'll be a high energy show. And, you know, there'll be lots of rocking going on. That one's sponsored by Lisa's Gems of the Silver Valley in Uptown Kellogg.
Perfect.
They will also be down at the market. They're a normal vendor, but they'll be down there as well, showing off some of the stuff that they have up there in the shop in Uptown.
Very cool.
Awesome. So basically, everything's going to run from noon to 8. Is that what I'm... And then fireworks?
start around dusk is my understanding, and it'll be they'll be shooting them out at the base of Silver.
Base of Silver Mountain. That's awesome.
So pretty much everybody can see those fireworks from almost anywhere. Yeah. As long as you can see the area.
Other things going on down at for the 4th of July? Any other activities or anything like that?
So SOAP hockey will be back for the second year.
That's right. Throwing on my other cap with putting things on here in the Valley. We'll be putting the second annual SOAP hockey tournament on this year. Last year was kind of just a throw together fun thing to do for everybody. And then now we've kind of got a little more organization going, inviting some more teams out. It should be a good time. All you need is a 3 to 4 person team. Show up at 2 o'clock. We'll register you. It'll be double elimination tournament. And we even made some cool SOAP medals for the winners. So
that sounds fun.
Uh-huh.
Is there any SOAP liability insurance for those of us who have weak ACLs?
Yeah. No, you know, considering this is only a sport in Sweden, I don't think so.
They play SOAP hockey in Sweden?
They do. I got the idea from... They actually have... So the hockey sticks in Sweden, they're webbed. So the water passes right through, but they can still play. It's like they take it seriously over there. Here, we're just kind of whacking.
So do you see it? Do you see a future for SOAP hockey tournaments in the summer?
I hope so. Boy, I hope so. Silver Mountain's been helping me put this together, and they've been instrumental in bringing it. I've just been kind of organizing and getting the people there. They're the ones bringing out a big giant blue tarp that I don't even know where they got. Looks like they stole it off of the pavilion in Spokane, but.
So what would be cool, hear me out here.
Yeah.
Silver Valley Soap Hockey League.
Yeah.
And if that ran, I mean, let's just say every Thursday night.
Yeah, every Thursday night. That'd be.
And it could be done in a place where there's like vendors. Mm-hmm. And
weird.
Music.
I wonder where we could find a place like that.
I feel like it would almost be like a perfect fit for something else that's already going on, like a community market or something.
Right.
I'm not sure. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the 4th of July. As a person who's grown up here, I've seen, gosh, we had it in Pinehurst for years, and it was so much fun at the KOA campground. Mm-hmm. And then it moved to Kellogg, and it struggled. 4th of July in Kellogg has struggled. This year, it seems like we have a full slate of events. You know, there's probably going to be a lot more people because in years past, there's been stuff going on in like Osborne, here in Osborne, but that's not happening this year. So I'm assuming that we're going to have the full.
Are you guys expecting a larger turnout?
Yeah. And we have almost 40 vendors signed up between community market, or community groups, beer garden, food, all that jazz. There'll be around 40. So
do we know who the community vendors are this week?
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
So it's Bring Back the Burnouts.
Oh, so Pinehurst Days?
Yep. The Silver Valley Nazarene Church.
Oh.
Kellogg Baptist Church. Foster, Idaho.
And I think I heard something about the Kellogg... It's something about the Kellogg School District Bond. Are they doing a community booth this week? I think I saw something listed on one of their social media outlets.
That might have been.
That might be one of them, too.
Mm-hmm. And then also, gosh, I should have been prepared for this.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
You're
that's
just
okay.
Live. It's not a big deal.
No, it's just recorded.
Trying to think of... Silver Valley, or the Shoshone Community Concert Association.
Oh, cool.
They'll be there as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we give them a little bit of press throughout the year. They provide, like... some free and then like other like just low price ticket concerts throughout the summer. Some pretty renowned artists coming.
Some unique, I was gonna say some unique music that you really wouldn't like. Even if you wanted to hear them, you're like, where? I don't know where.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect like world class celloists to come to Wallace and play in the basement of a church, but it happens.
It does happen.
Yeah. And then of course the Kellogg Senior Center. They're not going to be set up right in the park because they're going to be near the pavilion, near the pool, but they are also a community booth, and that's kind of how the whole idea got started.
Pool's open too, right?
Yes, so pool will be open 11 to 5.
Gotcha. Sweet. Perfect.
Now, this is a big question, especially for a bigger fellow like me. What kind of food is going to be available?
So Black Kettle Kitchen, it will be there with teriyaki bowls. And I think there's spring rolls if she does a similar menu that she's done in the past. And her stuff is amazing. And then you'll also have taco dogs, which are tacos and dogs. So those are the main two food vendors.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Taco Dogs, those are my neighbors.
Love it.
Sam and Cliff.
Gotcha.
They make mean hot dog.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right, well, it sounds like the 4th of July is going to be awesome this year. I don't think I have any other questions.
So let's end it with this. Mallory, let's talk about you.
Oh, gosh.
Let's talk about you real quick. How long you been with the Chamber?
A little over a year now.
Just a little over a year. How are you liking it?
I'm learning a lot.
Those directors, they're just a pain in the pain, aren't they?
Totally.
Yeah, that's, I know. That's, we can be, for sure. I'm
pretty sure Chance's.
No, that's not me. That's not me. Well, good. I'm glad you're liking it. What's your favorite part of the job?
The community market.
The community market, huh?
It's kind of your guys' baby.
It's our baby.
Definitely.
I love it. I'm biased as a vendor, but I think it's one of the coolest things we have in the Valley. So
yeah, and the first market brought in over $4,000 into vendors, and so ideally throughout the 4th of July, we're hoping to hit $10,000.
Well, Nathan was saying that it's you know, the only thing that's been holding it back is weather. So
yeah, so fingers crossed.
And even when I remember Josh, you telling me that it did okay even.
Sure. Oh, well, you know, people will come out in the rain to buy kombucha, but it might not always work out that way for other folks.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I think we've hit on everything. Mallory, you got anything else?
We got one more thing. We've still got about 25 to 30 of our market mugs left this year out of 100 that we got. They're going for $25. That gets you $1 off all your drinks at the market itself. So 4th of July is a great time to do that because it's a 6-hour market. And then that also gets you discounts on Friday evenings and on Saturday morning around the Valley through the market season at 12 partner businesses that are on the pint itself.
Hey, what do those mugs look like?
They are just brushed stainless, have a little cute...
cute little polar bear.
Polar bear person on them, yeah. Mm-hmm. And
so if I dropped one, like, you know, those really old like metal popcorn bowls that go, would it make that really cool noise if you dropped one?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know a lot of other vendors will also do mug specials throughout the year too. So I think they kind of saw the popularity of it and wanted to get involved one way or another. So
perfect. All right, Josh.
Well, I think that's it. So this week's interview sponsor was Shoshone Funeral Service. Their mission is to serve every family with calm empathy, to console, to heal, and comfort families during the most distraught moments of their lives. Visit Debbie Mikesell and her great staff at 106 South Main Street in Kellogg, or call 208-786-5121. Shoshone Funeral Service, our family serving yours in your time of need.
Another big thank you to Mallory coming in and talking about the 4th of July events. That was a great interview. Love sitting down with her and chatting with her. Always a pleasure on any chamber events to talk to her.
Mallory and Nathan are good people.
Absolutely.
Happy to help promote this event.
Totally. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's close in here on the end of our first little podcast with some rapid fire regional news. Josh, what do you got over there?
So the West Bonner County School District, that's basically Priest River Lamana High School and middle school and elementary school. They just approved a $10.4 million district budget, which included $6 million in supplemental levy funds that was passed narrowly in May. So you know, not necessarily big news for anything outside of that, but here locally, we kind of know a little thing about the importance of levies and bonds and school budgets. So $10 million is a pretty hefty amount of funds for a school district.
Absolutely. Okay, jumping over to the Montana side of the border, coming from the Clark Fork Valley Press and Mineral Independent, still no deal has been reached to reopen the Mineral County Detention Center. That story came out on July 3rd, so today, actually. There's still the BOCC, that makes sense. The Mineral County Jail, it's still being closed. It closed back in, let's see here, the story talks about it being closed back in January when the 28-bed jail closed following a detention officer shortage. The jail needs a minimum of 5 officers to run the facility, and the county didn't receive enough applicants to begin the hiring process. So it sounds like they've been working with a private company to try to get that going, but no agreement has been reached. So
where are they housing their prisoners?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-oh.
It's a great question.
Interesting. back up in the North Idaho realm. This is right out of the Bonner County Daily Bee. Mm-hmm. A motorist was arrested for felony assault for allegedly pointing a pistol at another motorist during a traffic dispute.
Well, who hasn't want to go there, right?
In Sagal on Monday afternoon. So this was, what, July 3rd yesterday?
Yeah.
Michael William Santino made his initial appearance in the court on Tuesday. He was driving, this whole thing started after a man driving a motorhome told sheriff's deputies that he attempted to overtake Santino in a four-lane section of highway because he was driving below the speed limit. The man said Santino sped up to thwart the passing maneuver and then fell behind him in Santino's Saturn. Then the motorhome driver told sheriff's deputies that he clearly saw Santino reach over and place a pistol on the headrest before turning around. And pointing it at him.
I feel like...
to call 911.
I feel like this could easily be me on certain days. Like, not... It wouldn't, but... Boy.
It gets better.
Okay.
Santino, who is 60, denied producing a pistol and said he reached over the headrest for purposes of comfort. And he further accused the other driver of attempting to pass him in a no-passing zone and then tailgating him. A fully loaded Kel-Tec 22 caliber pistol was found tucked between a passenger seat in Santino's car.
Okay. Well, okay. So reaching my arm over, like, I've done that to back up. Like, when I'm looking behind to, like, back up, I'll reach over. But I don't know about mid-drive. I don't know about that one.
Point a 22 in
the I don't know about that one. Gotcha. Man. Okay. And then bouncing back down south to the this one out of the Coeur d'Alene Press. Something that we also have experience with here. A historical home is in danger of being knocked down. The house on 627 Government Way in Coeur d'Alene is set to be demolished so it can help expand the adjacent courthouse. The commissioners are saying that this is a good thing for the area, good thing for the courthouse, expanding some space. Let's see here. Here's one of his quotes. This property is going to help the county in a couple different ways. Commissioner Chris Filios, boy, I hope I'm not butchering that name, said, for our public defender right now, we're renting space for them. That's for 40 people and about $10,000 a month. And that's just one organization within the government. So, the critics to this, the person that they talked to in this, her name is Zoe Thurman, argues that the building, while it is not on the National Register Historic of Places or on the Idaho Historic Preservation's radar, it is an old building because it was built in 1910, and it has significance to the area.
Well, I think we've been dealing with something like that up in Wallace mm-hmm. for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Was it number 3 Bank Street?
Is absolutely.
I think that's the address.
A little different situation, but but similar in the sense that...
Very familiar.
Yes, we're very familiar with that type of thing. So, we'll follow that. And actually, if there's any other updates on that house in Wallace, we'll make sure to cover that.
ATV and dirt bike season is upon us, and Silver Valley Tire is here to help you with all your tire needs. Stop in and check out Maxxis ATV and dirt bike tires for your vehicle. We also offer a nice selection of Cooper and Toyo tires. Stop in and compare prices. Silver Valley Tire is located at 407 West Cameron Avenue in Kellogg.
Perfect. So last thing we do before we let you go, we're going to let you guys in on a little sneak peek. Thank you, boy. Sneak peek on what we're going to be writing about in our Saturday edition. Josh, what do you got over there?
You know, I had a chance to talk to Tad Tower. He's the owner and operator of the Jameson Hotel. And this last weekend, he had some ghost hunters in the building.
Did they catch any?
They talked about some stuff. We'll have more on that. But they were leading tours. So not only were they hunting ghosts, but they were kind of showing people how to do it themselves. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
Gotcha.
Next week.
Gotcha. I mean, not to hype it up, but I'm pretty sure they've got one on display in there now. Because they caught one. At least that's what I'm hoping anyway. I could be wrong. Maybe don't quote me on
don't
that.
Quote you
on that. Story that I'm working on, actually, one of our local dentists here, Bird Family Dental in Kellogg, they recently got a brand new dentist into the office. He's replacing longtime dentist Steve Rinaldi, coming in Dr. Jeff Bew. I hope I'm saying that name correctly.
How do you spell it?
B B-U-E. Pew.
Pew.
Pew. I had a chance to sit down with him yesterday, and we had a nice conversation about where he's from and whatnot. So if you want to learn a little more about him and what he's going to do for not only Bird Family Dental, but the little family of that. Bird Family Dental is a part of some other dentistries mm-hmm. in the area, like in St. Mary's. So yeah. he'll be working with them.
Excellent. Well, always good to have another dentist in the area.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Absolutely. Well, once again, we'd like to thank this week's sponsor, Julie Zook, for sponsoring our first ever podcast. That's Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty. If you're looking to buy a home or sell a home here in the Silver Valley, call Julie at 208-659-1764. She's going to be your best friend in real estate.
You know, I'm okay with selling our intro and outro ads to anyone, like anybody that wants to pay, but it's really a pleasure to talk up Julie Zook.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Never going to complain with that.
Yep.
All right. This has been us here at SMP Now. We will see you next week.
Have a good week.